Hello, this is Joanne Shenandoah. I'm a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter, Native American Music Award winner, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Thank you, Joanne. Well, joining us for the remainder of the program is our good friend Teresa Moore, the Executive Director of the Valley's Planning Council, or the VPC, as it's commonly known. Dr. Zahara and I are big-time supporters of the VPC because they are fighting for the preservation of our beautiful Green Spring Valley, as well as all open spaces in Baltimore County. Their mission includes protecting the Baltimore County's agricultural, natural, historic, and scenic resources, and working to promote a balanced, we like that term, balanced, as we talked about in our first hour, a balanced and rational use of land for the benefit of present and future generations. It's that last part of their mission statement that makes me think of the Native American approach to never make a decision without considering its impact on the seventh generation to follow you in the future. Sustainable growth is all about keeping the sanctity of our corner of Mother Earth healthy and viable for habitation for our great, 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 great grandchildren. But I guess the fossil fuel industries just think it's good enough to have it next week and maybe good enough for a couple of months. Yes, there is. As long as they can make big bucks. Well, welcome to 21st Century Radio, Teresa Moore.
Thank you. How are you?
I am about an A-.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
It is pretty good, Teresa. Now, when we invited you to be a guest on our radio show, Teresa, you suggested a good topic for discussion would be easements. So,
that's correct.
What is an easement, and why are they important to the Valley Planning Council?
Well, a conservation easement is something a landowner decides to do to add protection forever. It's in perpetuity to their land, and they do it in a couple of different ways. But what they essentially do is give up the right to develop their land. They still own it. They still have a bundle of other rights that they can do, but they can't develop it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get either they can sell the development rights, and a lot of the agricultural properties do that, or they donate their rights to a land trust, and they get a tax break for that. So the main point is that the land is preserved for the future, seven generations and beyond.
You mean not just for a couple of months, huh?
No, in perpetuity, essentially forever. I mean, we won't be around forever, so we don't know that it wouldn't, you know, somebody might come up with something, but what the law says is that it's done.
Well, that's great news. Well, I understand there are some tax incentives for donating conservation easements on their land. How's that work?
Well, they vary, and right now they're sort of in a temporary state of expansion. The federal government gives you an incentive where you can get a deduction on your income tax, and there's been a certain limit on that all this time, but over the last 2 years they've expanded that limit so that your incentives, your benefits are much greater, and so they're supposed to expire at the end of 2013. So we were trying to get the word out for anybody who's looking to donate an easement that right now your return is much higher. So we were hoping that people would be inspired to donate easements this year.
I see. Yeah, I remember that one now. Zahara and I attended the screening of your film Designing with Nature, The Plan for the Valleys, when it premiered at the Baltimore Museum of Art. I understand this film will soon be available to the public. Tell us what the film is about, and tell us also who made it and how.
Okay. Well, the film was made by a local filmmaker here in Baltimore. He teaches at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and his name is Alan Moore. Happens to have the same last name as me, but no relation. And he is a great cinematographer who has done a lot of work on Ken Burns films. So his family is also rooted in the valley, so he had some knowledge of the people and the places. And so we hired him to do the film to commemorate the 50-year anniversary of the Valley's Planning Council. And so he spent about 2 years working with me and other people involved in the Valley's Planning Council, interviewing a lot of property owners and a few of the people who were involved 50 years ago when the plan for the Valleys that sort of laid the groundwork for protecting the agricultural land north of the Beltway, and talked all about it. We had a very interesting and intriguing land planner at the time, Ian McCarg, who was a Scotsman and went on to be a renowned landscape architect and environmental planner, and he had done the plan for the Valleys. So it sort of, the film talks about the origins of the plan and what the plan hoped to achieve and what actually happened 50 years later.
Really, we really enjoyed that film. When is the when is it going to be available on CD? Or DVD, that is.
Well, we had hoped it would be out right after the BMA screening, but as it happened, the film wasn't quite in the can at the time, and so after people saw it, we got quite a few comments, and we couldn't help but take some advice from some people who saw it. So we actually added a couple of interviews, which made us have to go back and re-edit and everything. So the film has just gone off now to be reproduced, and we hope to have it by the end of the month.
By the end of the month. Well, in regards to limiting septic systems, that is, why is limiting development growth in Baltimore County good for the Chesapeake Bay as well as good for the rest of Maryland's ecosystem?
Well, the septic system issue is interesting. In Baltimore County, it was fairly limited already because of the planning that had been done, 50 years ago that controlled sprawl. But in a lot of the counties surrounding us and in other states where sprawl has kind of taken over, we have a lot of subdivisions on septics. And septics don't take out any nitrogen, and nitrogen's a big problem for the bay. And they also tend to have problems if they're not, maintained properly. So limiting sprawl is a big factor in controlling what happens on the land, and what happens on the land is a big factor on what kind of water quality you have. So the governor passed that, or the legislature passed the septics bill, and it has a much longer bill, some kind of sustainability title, but sort of commonly known as the septics bill. And it essentially said that in rural areas, you cannot have major subdivisions, large subdivisions on septics anymore. Mm-hmm. So in Baltimore County, since we already had fairly restrictive zoning, what it said is about two-thirds of Baltimore County is rural. And in most of that now, you cannot have anything larger than a three-house subdivision,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty restrictive, but we were pretty close to that already.
Yeah, I think it was, if I recall correctly, 2-point-something houses or something close to that.
In most of Baltimore County, two densities per lot is what's allowed. But what was happening, even though we controlled a lot of the growth in Baltimore County, is it was exploding around us to the north in York County, Pennsylvania, to the east in Harford County and to the west in Carroll County. And then, the same story was happening all over the state. So essentially what the state government said to the rest of the state is you all should have regulations and plans and policies more akin to what's going on in Baltimore County. And since you haven't done it yourselves, we're now going to limit you with how much you can put on septics because we cannot clean up the bay unless we have some help.
Yeah, that's for sure. Jeez, a whiz. You know, at the VPC meeting last week, you updated us on several ongoing issues that the VPC is working on. We have some time to review a few of those. Agritourism and legislative recommendations.
Yes, well, that's something that's on the horizon. There have been a lot of issues in the county, differing points of view, I guess, about what a farm is allowed to do. And one school of thought is, that a farm has to just be growing stuff, and that's pretty much all they can do. And others feel that farms have always been, commercial or industrial businesses, and they should be able to process and sell their goods as well as produce it. So there was a sort of an ad hoc committee that was formed by a farmer who is a member of the Baltimore County Planning Board back in 2009, and they started looking at recommendations for, you know, can a farmer have a farm stand? Can he have, you know, sell his milk? Can he make cheese? Can they sell pies? You know, that kind of thing. But also, can they do corn mazes? Could they have a wedding in their barn? Could they have some other sort of non-farm income? And so I have heard, and I haven't seen it yet, that the county planning office has made some recommendations based on the work that that committee did. And I'm sure it'll be lively discussion when it eventually comes out for, it'll go to the planning board, I'm sure, and have some public discussion.
Well, we're going to have some lively discussions if we don't take our final break here on 21st Century Radio with our guest, Teresa Moore, Executive Director of the Valley's Planning Council, on why conserving open space in Baltimore County will protect future generations. Oh, maybe for seven generations. That's a lot better than what we're being told is good enough when you can preserve it for about 6 months or something like that. I guess that's just enough time to make enough profit to get out of town, right? Because we're going to hold those guys responsible for the mess they make. We'll be back in just a few minutes. By the way, you can go to the VPC.org to check out the stuff.
This is Max Dashu of the Suppressed Histories Archives. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. For Global Women's Heritages, icons, and video clips, visit www.suppresshistories.net.
Well, there she is. I call her Super Max. She is something else, I'm telling you. It's so wonderful to have so many brilliant, and I mean brilliant, women. Scholars, researchers, and we got one right on the phone right now. Teresa Moore, Executive Director of the Valley's Planning Council, on why conserving open space in Baltimore County will protect the future generations for more than a month. That's for sure. That may sound like a long time to some people. Okay. During the meeting, VPC meeting, you talked about a presentation was made on the Hunt Valley Baptist Church that is an update on that. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's a proposal that's in the offing. The developer was kind enough to give us a preview of what they're planning there. But there's sort of been concerns creeping up over the years about these large mega churches that are moving into rural areas. And they're a concern because they take up, you know, soil that you're trying to preserve for agriculture, and they're fairly large facilities, and they have large parking lots, a lot of impervious surface. So we're always looking at those pretty carefully when they come up. And this one happens to be right next to another church, and it's currently a 250-seat church that's located in the area that's hoping to expand, and so they've bought a resource conservation zoned property where they hope to build a 1,000-seat church, and we're just keeping an eye on it because it's on a piece of property that doesn't perk. So that means instead of a septic system, the standard kind of septic system, they have to have sand mounds.
Oh my!
And that's just a whole other layer of complication when you're talking about protecting waterways, and there are streams right there on the property. So I was just giving the membership an update that this is something we're watching, and that we feel that the use of sand mounds should be looked at, in particular in areas where the Cockeysville Marble Aquifer underlays the property.
Oh, yeah.
Because once something pollutes that, the entire system, you know, is at risk. So that's one of the types of projects that we, you know, keep an eye on. Try to be level-headed and listen to what the other side is proposing, but, you know, the bottom line for us is protecting the resources and the agricultural properties.
Well, you certainly have. And what about Rainbow Hall?
That one has been a multi-year effort. And again, any of these issues that we take on have some kind of precedent involved that we're concerned could be replicated, you know, to the detriment of the future of the rural area. And Rainbow Hall is an interesting property, has a very large historic mansion on it that was once home to General MacArthur. And it eventually was turned into a nursing home, and a big wing was added. So it's an awkward property. But it had been used for some things that weren't allowed under the zoning. And so we looked into that with the county, and eventually it was found that, no, those uses weren't appropriate. It was apartments and catered events. And so now the owner is decided he will turn that into a church. And he had two proposals. One was to build a very large sanctuary and have a 1,000-seat church there. And that one looked like an uphill battle, so he kind of backed off that and went for this 250-seat church, which doesn't sound like much, you know, in the way of egregious, because they wouldn't be doing any building. But the concern there is that it will be more of a rental facility. It's not owned by a church. It's owned by a private individual who intends to rent it to any number of denominations and have, you know, a variety of services and events there that will impact the community. So we're taking a look at that and had asked for some limitations that weren't granted. So we're going to still try to get some of that.
You know, I really enjoyed listening to Mr. Zirkin. Is his first name Bob? Bobby Zirkin?
Yes, Bobby Zirkin. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
from the 11th District.
What a presentation he made, especially in regards to fracking, because, boy, what a mess this is.
Well, he got very involved with a proposal and, well, really a plan for the Columbia Gas Pipeline expansion. They say they need to double their line that currently runs from Owings Mills up through the Caves Valley, across Oregon Ridge, and into Harford County. And he got really worked up about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the more he found out, I guess, the more he realized that things are sort of orchestrated from the top for these kind of companies because, I mean, there's two lines of thinking for that. One is they can't get it done unless they sort of have the control, and the other is that the people get run over with, you know, worrisome projects that can explode and pollute.
Yeah.
And so he had the latter view, I guess, and tried to put some controls on what they could do and how the community was involved.
Well,
I think
I'm
he had something like 15 bills in the legislature this year, and one passed.
I know, but I'm proud of this man. I really am.
Well, he worked hard. I'll give him that.
He sure did. Now, the Valley Inn, which is my wife and I's favorite little place to eat back in the old days, where does that situation sit now?
It's a neat place, and it has a place in a lot of people's hearts around the Greenspring Valley. It's located there on Falls Road between, I guess, Hillside and Greenspring Valley. And it's recently been purchased, about a year ago, I guess, and is going under rehabilitation. The Valley's Planning Council had a very restrictive covenant on the property before the sale because people before my time had wanted to ensure that the place would maintain its character. And so we've been working with the owner for about a year to ease a few of the restrictions so that he could, the business would be a little more viable from his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't able to give him 100% of what he wanted, but I would say we gave him about 90%. We hope that it's going to be open. We understand he's, you know, still not too happy that he didn't get everything he wanted, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, we're certainly looking forward to going there again. Boy, we have so many 40-year memories.
Everyone is.
Yeah, you know, really is something. Now, you're going to be joining us again on 21st Century Radio in the fall to promote the big fundraiser, Art for Land's Sake, scheduled for October the 18th to the 20th. But how about a little teaser on that right now? What would we expect?
Well, it's a very fun show. We take over somebody's barn in one of the valleys, and for a weekend we turn the stalls and the, you know, everything around it into an art gallery. And we have 50 to 60 artists show their work. And we also have about a half a dozen vendors who sell anything from clothing and purses and sculpture, all kinds of things will be available. And it's a big opportunity to support the Valley's Planning Council. We do it every other year. And I believe we're going to have the esteemed Dr. Bob Hieronymus as one of our artists.
Well, I hope so.
2013 show.
I hope so. I hope to exhibit the work I'm finishing now, dealing with the various farms out here. Whoops, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us, Teresa.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Talk around the clock and breaking news now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Bill Vitka.